previous generation. It's more difficult.
The Maisa, the reality is, back in the day, Chinuch was, you didn't have to be so good at Chinuch in order for it to go. It just went. You know, even people, they did pretty messy Chinuch. Tell me about people used to hang their Talmidim from a hook and just, you know, whack them back and forth. Back in the day, Rebbeim used to have sticks. They used to walk around the room with a stick and you had to put your hand out and the Rebbe would whack you with a stick. That's the way it used to be. And you couldn't move your hand. You had to, that itself was torture, just waiting for him to, and then he just come down, whack on you. That was chinuch once upon a time. And it worked. I mean, it wasn't good chinuch, don't get me wrong. That wasn't good chinuch. But people still, basically everyone, you know, fell in line. Why is it that today a person has to be so careful with chinuch and mamish, like, you know, to make sure that he does a perfect job? Why is it that way? Why is that we need to be, why is the younger generation so much more fragile? So much more challenging. He says, lo ba'asharas, he says, I'm not going to give you just some sort of guesstimation. I'm not going to hypothesize, come up with ideas. I'm going to tell you chukim meisanim. I'm going to tell you hard facts. I'm going to tell you exactly why this is happening. And the reason it's happening is because there's a difference between the previous generations, and that is that the noyar, which is the younger generation, feel like they have they're entitled to an opinion. They feel like they know. They have already the enough intelligence, enough clarity on what life is about, and therefore they know how to deal with things. They know how to deal with themselves. They know what's right for themselves. To spoke about a child that he was the youngest pilot to ever fly a plane, so killed himself on his first flight, and his parents said at least he died doing the thing that he loved to do. And how people are like embracing the fact that kids at young ages are doing things that are destroying their lives, but listen, it's their life, they can do whatever they want. Like, why are you allowing a kid at such a young age to make that type of decision? Why? Because children are like being, like, there's like this feeling that a child can already make his decision. There's a doctor, I don't know where he practices, but I did see an interview with a doctor who if a child at a young age feels like he wants to change his gender, so the doctor can give children hormones at a young age so that a girl, when she's 12 years old, can start growing a beard. So a 12-year-old girl can decide that she wants to be a man, and at 12 years old, and it's irreversible. You could give them hormone injections and make them into, you know, they'll have a male, basically a male features. She'll start growing facial hair and things of the like. And a doctor who does that, if a girl comes in 10 years old and says, I'd like to be a boy, it's irreversible. She can't change her mind like in 3 years and say, I was going through a phase. You know, it's like, no, it's over. You know, people who give themselves tattoos, I see it all the time. I just saw it. I guess I was somewhere, you know, I've been around more than usual. So a guy who has this tattoo inside of his ear. The inside of his ear is tattooed. And I'm trying to think, like, what is he going to feel like in 10 years from now? Like, or people like the tattoos all over themselves, it's irreversible. But people are doing things at young ages, and it's like the type of thing, like the Mashkiach once said, there should be like a rule. You have to wait 24 hours between you, like, decide you want a tattoo and when you get it. Because after it's like, did I just do that? Right? But people make these decisions, and we're allowing children, little kids, to like decide things about their lives, and that's a problem. And there's two major problems that come from it, we said. One problem is that anyone that's trying to give them advice, anyone that's trying to school them, who's trying to give them any type of discipline, they see as like someone who's trying to like take over them, or trying to control them, manipulate them. Why? Because I know what's right for me. What are you trying to tell me what to do? And therefore there's a resistance, and even sometimes it creates a certain degree of hatred. And the second thing, which is maybe even worse than the first, is that a child creates a certain association and an identity. I was talking about like the fact that we have an affinity towards sports teams and things like that. And it just, it becomes a part of you. It's like something that you like. And a person like already at a young age can decide what he likes. And a sports team is a hal b'tzara. But people decide this type of music is for me. This type of lifestyle is for me. These type of people are my type of people. This type of behavior is my type of behavior. And you and they like, and that becomes something that they have a hard time erasing. And it could be stuck in them for a long time. We spoke about a niyar chalak, which is a clean slate of paper. And a niyar machuk is when a person erased, there's something that was already there and the impression is still there. Even Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg said it took him a long time to get rid of the Yankees. So when people have a certain type of behavior that they get from a young age, it's very hard to undo it. Is it impossible? No. No, for sure not. But it makes it much more challenging. And that's what makes chinuch that much more challenging, because people feel, this is what I am. I'm a wild animal. This is what I am. This is the type of music I like to listen to. This is what I identify with. This is for me. This is not for me. And we have a hard time trying to like undo all of that, because at young ages, they already have created for themselves a lifestyle. But I think this is where we're up to. Im nachdor el toich nefesh hanar, page 10 zayin. Im nachdor el nefesh hanar. Nachdor means to dig. If we really try to dig down and we try to like drill and get into, like, let's try to get down to inside what's going on inside this child's nefesh. V'nisboinen v'nisyoinois zakim v'amitim b'chol mahalcha. And when nisboinen means we ponder, we think about. Nisyoinois, true nisyoinois b'chol mahalcha, and the whole, all the travels. Nira, shalpi aroiv. Someone that goes off of the derech. It doesn't happen like in an instant. It's not like there's one incident and then boom, he's out. Person doesn't become mechal Shabbos like overnight, like all of a sudden he's like a regular guy and all of a sudden he's mechal Shabbos. And also, people aren't going from the Beis Medrash to theaters. Lahavdil, pisoim. It's not like happening suddenly that all of a sudden a guy's leaving the Beis Medrash to go to a theater. Hagamar oimeres, kach umanuso shel yetzer hara. This is the yetzer hara's craft. This is his technique. Hayoyim oimer lo yasei kach, ulamachar yasei kach. Today he says do this. Tomorrow he says do that. He just tries pushing the envelope a little bit. You know, it's so bad, you know, that I've heard that line so many times. It's not so bad if I just do this, if I just do that. And then he slowly starts wearing you down until before you know it, you're like doing things that were your red line before. People are like, well, I'll only do a thing that's a little bit. I'm not going to go that bad. I'm only going to go this far, not that far. And the Yitzhar knows how to do that. And it keeps on bringing you closer to you until a person ends up doing things that he swore he wouldn't do. And that's the Yitzhar, that's the way he does it. And there's all everyone like that, you know, thinks that he could just like, you know, just like do X amount. So he's falling into the Yetzer Hara's trap. The trap. Lefim riata royim bigamara rakish abakfar lasis es hamaisim haroyim achmana letzlan. If you look in the Gemara, if you're in the Lashon, the Gemara says ayom aseikach, do this. So the Yetzer Hara, now he's talking about the Yetzer Hara gets you to do certain things or to not do certain things. And that's where he starts. But the Rebbe is saying the following thing. It's not only with bad things. Loi ba'averech hamura maschil. Betchile doesn't start with doing bad averes. Rak behadroga yoyred liber shachas. Slowly, step by step, the Eitz Ahura starts getting you to unravel, to go lower and lower to ber shachas. Avol kad chazinon. Ganterim sheboile maiser rishoyna achikal. The Rebbe is saying something very, very important. And he says, even before you do even the smallest, teeniest little infraction of action, of maisa, gam bedai toipnima, hamashvil onase pisoim ubepamachas. There's something else. There's a question of an outlook. There's a question of an attitude. There's a question of a person's approach, the way a person looks at life. that also is not a breakdown that happens in a moment. And the Yetzirah gets us to have opinions before we even do anything. A person can be mamish shomer Torah mitzvahs, but his attitude and what he's thinking about in his mind, something's going off. And it could be the smallest little thing, and then slowly, slowly, keeps on going. And a person keeps on, and then it starts getting worse and worse. And it could be still he's going through all the routines, but something in his mind is not right. That's the way the Yetzer Hara works. It could start with the smallest little thing. His mind starts getting, calls it wounds or the punctures, things that are like not okay going on up there. Petza ve'enoi petza. It's like, it's not so bad. Kanega nearly bavayis. People are saying it's not so bad. That's it. That's what the Yetzer is trying to do. He's just trying to get a point of entry. He wants to get in. And once you allow him to do something that's not right, even if it's not so bad, Yetzer is in. And once he's in, he's taking over. He's like a cancer. I'm sure that you know, if there's the teeniest, smallest, even shred, Rachmana Litzlan, it just grows and grows and grows. It has to be totally gone. It's just the smallest, teeniest, microscopic, we couldn't even imagine. There's the teeniest little bit. It just grows and grows and grows. Kanega. It's like, okay, it's what's so bad? It's like the teeniest little spot, right? That's the Yetzer Hara. He gets in and he takes over. I told you about a friend of mine. He was in Eretz Yisrael. He was the shtakas bachur around. He used to give Thursday night mishmar. He'd give shmuzim to the oilam with the lights off, and he'd give fiery musr, and he was great. And his parents made him go back to Chutz Laretz. His Rebbeim told him he's not ready. He went to a yeshiva that doesn't necessarily have sensitivities that he was holding by, and he fell apart. I was with him Purim. That year Purim. He left El. I was with him Purim. And no Purim, he said to me, he said, Chaim Tzvi, I'm good. I'm really good. The only thing I don't understand is how could Hashem tell us that we should kill innocent children of Amalek? How could it be? It's the only thing. Aside for that, I'm 100% fine. I said to him, you are in serious trouble. He said, what are you talking about? Fine. I said, I just don't understand. How could the Torah do that? I can't be. It doesn't make any sense to me. That was the beginning of a totally, totally unraveling. And he became so bad, which the Rebbe is going to speak about, that he used to work in a kosher kitchen and he used to hang milk over the fleishika soup, like as a joke. Because he had, and the mashgiach, he said, I can't work with you. He said, goyim are better than you. The guy was he became horrible, horrific, from just one thing of like one nega in his head. Like, you know, we asked this question to Rabbi Yaakov Hillel, those of you that were there. We basically asked this question: what's the difference between Machias Amalek and the Germans that killed innocent children? And he gave an answer. But this boy, he wasn't able to get, probably he wasn't really looking for the answer or whatever it was. He was struggling with a lot of things inside. But he said to me, I'm doing everything the same. I'm the same guy. It's the only thing that I'm not holding by right now. It's Mechias Amalek. It's not Negeah. It's not relevant. We're not doing mitzvahs, right? What? And that was the beginning of everything falling apart. That's the way the Yetzer Hara works. He gets us to start thinking things in our head. Different things, cool ideology, things that are not right, and then it grows and it grows, and before anything action happens, and maybe still going through all the motions. That's the way the Yetzer Hara works. Rakanega nega veno nego mimena mivatzvetses machshava daka min hadaka. There's this teeny little machshava that's banging around in his head. Le'estakel ala Torah va'avoida kal dover nivzeu batlanus. To look at Torah and say there's something wrong with the Torah, and the Torah is buzzly. There's something that's like that's low in the Torah. There's something that's the Torah is batlanus, is irrelevant. Va'lo oilam hachitzoni shel hoilalus barus v'pachazus ki yafa v'toiv. And he looks at the world out there, outside of the Beis Medrash, and he says, that's a good world. There's a world of partying. There's a world of, you know, there's no stress out there. And there's a person can be, he could be spontaneous. Pachazus is like, I could be spontaneous, I could have a good time. Inside the yeshiva, people are under so much stress, there's so much lachatz, and it's not healthy, and people can start looking at it that way. People start saying, you know, the yeshiva world is a bad place to be, and it's like, and it's destructive for me, I just want to be happy. And therefore, they opt out. But in the meantime, there's just this thought going on. Ki yafa v'tov, you think the outside world is good? The smallest little reason can cause this thing to go on, this thought to happen. Because it's this teeny little thing and nothing's happening. He's still davening, he's still learning, he's still going through his day, but in his head, something is just this thought, and it's not like he's like necessarily thinking about it all day, but it's going to grow. It's dangerous. And then, his rebbeim, his good friends, don't necessarily see any change. But he's starting to get warped, starting to get bent inside of his neshama. Things are no longer straight, are no longer glad. It's going to start in his mind, and it's going to spread, and it's going to consume everything, his entire flesh. And suddenly, kol rash nishma. All of a sudden, they hear there's a commotion. V'hini azav es beis elokim. The person left yeshiva. V'nofal ber shachas rachman al etzlam. And that's what happens. Al piroiv nega pnimi ze benefesh. Where does it come from? B'min hayeshius v'es nagdus haniskarim la'el. Comes from the same place. It comes from a person feels like, I understand, I know, explain it to me. Doesn't make any sense to me. You're not intelligent enough to understand these things. And there are certain things which we won't understand. And we should be able to be mature enough to realize that we're not going to understand everything. Rav Mendel of Rimanov, the Kotzke Rebbe, also said, if there's a God whose ways can be known by man is not wanted by me. I don't have to understand everything. I have to be intelligent enough to understand God. So then what makes him different than me? Of course we won't understand. So a person is going to say, how did God let the Holocaust happen? You know what? You don't have to have an answer to that question. You don't need an answer to that question. You're allowed to have questions. You're right, that's a tough one. The Par Adum is also a rough one. I don't know the answer to that question either. And I never will. But people that like feel like my mind is like is the koveya, my mind, it doesn't make sense to me, therefore it can't be because I decided it can't be. Okay, then we're in trouble. But people like feel this entitlement. The right word is entitlement. Do they feel that they have the ability to be able to establish opinions and to come up with these ideas? Kivin shenase yesh lifnei atzmoi. And then he gets this resistance and even this hatred, neged aviv, against his parents, raboisav, his rabbeim, umechanchov, and his mechanchim. Loi rak negda mis iris is nagdusai. And you know something? It's not only them. It's not only these people. Rak el asher yoyru oisai. And then he doesn't like everything about them. He doesn't like their lifestyle. He doesn't like what they represent. I was one time sitting in a shir. I have a Rebbe that I was in his yeshiva. His name is Rabbi Berlwein. Berlwein, he should be gesund. He was one time speaking and he said, no one should confuse Jews with Judaism and the rabbis with the rabbinate. In other words, just because a Jew, there's such a thing as a Jew having bad behavior, right? Jew doing something wrong. Just because a Jew does something wrong doesn't mean that Judaism is corrupt, right? There's such a thing, right? A Jew made a mistake, but somehow they always take it out. That's the whole story of Haman, right? Haman said, oh, Mordechai's a Jew, don't like him? No, he's not going to kill Mordechai. He wants to annihilate all the Jewish people. Why? Because he's Jewish. So once he's Jewish, it's a Jewish thing. It's not a Mordechai thing, it's a Jewish thing. And with the rabbis, so Rabbi Wein was saying, don't confuse rabbis with the rabbinate. Is there such a thing as a rabbi making a mistake? There is. A rabbi can make a mistake. Doesn't mean that the rabbinate is corrupt. So he said this, rabbis can make a mistake. So the guy sitting next to me stood up and started clapping. Like he was very, like he's very happy. Rabbis can make a mistake. He got up. He's like, yay, rabbis make mistakes. I was like, you sit down, young man. You know, like he had so much negativity that all he heard in the whole speech was one thing. Rabbis make mistakes, you know. But people, they have this thing that it becomes like negativity, not just towards the person, but towards what he represents. And all of a sudden, they hate the system. It's the system. It's, you know, it's the whole culture. It's so, and over here, what he's saying is he didn't even do anything wrong. What did the rabbi do already? All he was trying to do is trying to give you some advice, but you're resistant to his advice. So therefore, he's an ayatollah. He's some sort of, religious fanatic and freak. And this is what the system does to you, and it's their fault, and it's this, and it's everyone else. And that's what happens. And all of a sudden, there's this negative association with Yiddishkeit. Toitzois tivareinu heim. שמלפנים כל מדריך ואב היו יכול לחנך את ילדי ישראל להירוע איסלם דרך השם. Back in the day, every father and every mechanech was able to give, to teach kids and just tell them the way what they should do. אף אם לא היה מדייק לחנך על פי דרכו, even if he didn't do such a great job, and he wasn't careful to see every child to do handcrafted chinuch, that it should be tailor-made for this person. That's the way it should be done. Rather, all he had to do was he gave them habit, good forms of habit, and he also gave them instructions, he gave them rules. That helped. Because a child at a young age, he was clean. He also understood at a young age that he does not have the capacity to forge decisions and opinions. And he's reik, he's empty. And he's limited in his understanding. There was some sort of like a thirst, an inner thirst. Give me instruction. Give me advice. I need to know because I know I can't do it myself. Even if the child started getting acting up and started like, you know, horsing around and wasn't listening, afterwards knew that he made a mistake. He knew afterwards that was a mistake. So maybe, you know, he slipped up, but he realized he made a mistake instead of constantly saying, what do you mean? This is the way I do things. This is me, and you're the one wrong, and you're treating me wrong, and I did it because of it. His father, his Rebbe, if they punish him, even if they hit him, and the child is the one that made a mistake. Ruchai nofal bekirba ma'at. He gets a little bit down on himself, and he understands that he made a mistake of a kafes atzmin neshmaya, and he forces himself to listen me'ata for moving forward lekoylam ulevatel sotzonav neiratzlinim in order to revatel his own ratzon in front of theirs. Me'at me'at kolat bekirbo es toiras Hashem liyos Yehudi ne'aman, and slowly it starts going in.
Maybe one was a bigger ben Torah, the other was a smaller ben Torah, but everyone basically was doing the right thing. Rare did you hear about such a thing, someone off the derech who was like a scandal. Didn't happen. Now, child's identity, child's feeling of his ability, confidence to be able to make his own decision, is coming early, before it's time, before he's developed. V'imoy gam hargashosav, also his feelings, his emotions. Shifosav, what he feels are his goals, his hopes. Hashkafosav, and his outlook on life. Ba'odam boiser, when they're still not ripe. Boy misgalis, and they're coming out. Ubisibasam, heirud. Because of that, there's anger, there's hatred, there's distance that's being created between parents and children. The children of our generation, they could have been faithful yidden, yotzu ve'enom, they left and they're gone, they're not here anymore. Nefchu aleim la'oyavim, and now they become our enemies.
Soichakim u'mecharchim shein,
they laugh at us, they show their teeth at us, ve'alamun usein into our faith.
Ve'zois ro'a shalom ha'melech b'chokhmas Hashem ha'sheboi.
Shlomo HaMelech was conscious of this. He realized this. And he said, you got to be careful how you do chinuch. Meirosh v'hizr lanu. Chanoich lenar al pi darkoi.
You have to do chinuch properly.
Loi b'tzivoi b'lvad rak b'chinuch. V'chinuch al pi darkoi shol kol echad v'echad.
And you have to do, it's not enough to just give people instructions. You have to start bringing out their talents. You have to start dealing with them as individuals. You have to start talking to them, because now, at this stage, we can't use anymore the old method of what we'd call schooling, or of the old type of discipline rules that we had. It doesn't work. It's not working. So now we have to be chinuch professionals. And that is chinuch l'kol echad ve'echad.
So now we're going to speak about, what does that mean? How does a person work on being mechanech every single child as an individual, and to bring out his koiches, and to talk to him in a way, a language that he's going to understand? Because we don't have a choice anymore. That's the new, the situation that's at hand right now, is that chinuch has to be done in a professional manner. We're going to continue with that, Beis Hashem, hopefully next Zman. There are a few things that I would like to mention to the Olam concerning next Zman. Turn that off, yeah. Now, we are...